Welcome to The Dyad Presents, a video game music podcast. I'm The Dyad, and this is Final Fight 2. Microphone setup today, so I expect that there might be a few kinks. Hopefully the sound quality is going to come out a little bit better. Maybe it won't be apparent until after it's edited and I'm done looking at it, but let me know if something stands out as particularly bad or good this time. Anyway, as for the intro track, from the game Final Fight 2, this is Fret Street Beat Beat. Released in 1993 for the Super Nintendo, the soundtrack was composed by Yasuaki Fujita, aka Bun Bun, Mari Yamaguchi, Yuki Satomura, Setsuo Yamamoto, Yuko Kadota, Tatsuya Nishimura, and there's a couple of pretty notable names in that mix there. The game itself is the sequel to the arcade classic Final Fight. Another belt-scrolling beat-em-up, Final Fight 2 is set shortly after the downfall of the Mad Gear gang. In actuality, the surviving members of Mad Gear have joined up with a new leader to extract revenge against the heroes of Metro City. The Mad Gear head to Japan and kidnap Guy's fiancé, Rena, and his sensei, Gen Ryusei. The only returning cast member is the mayor of Metro City, Mike Hager. Guy is on a training sabbatical, and Cody has the even more flimsy excuse of simply being on vacation. In my opinion, this really paints the heroes in a terrible light. Cody is totally lazy, and Guy is a complete scumbag. Sorry, honey. Sorry, training master. I'm doing push-ups in a jungle or something. I guess you'll just have to stay kidnapped for now. Luckily for the folks on the milk cartons, Gen Ryusei's daughter Maki and her friend Carlos Miyamoto are available to help Mike Hagar. The trio travel to Eurasia to do battle with Mad Gear 2.0. I'm really not sure why they didn't bother bringing back Cody and Guy for this game. The Carlos and Maki characters didn't really go anywhere after this. Maki had a couple of appearances in later Capcom fighting games, but Carlos never showed up again, and neither of them were in any future Final Fight games. And on top of that, Guy is in a ton of other games. He's arguably the most important character in the Final Fight franchise. As a side note, I keep wanting to call Guy Gi, but the Japanese is clearly Guy, G-A-I. The game eventually ends when Rena and Gen Ryusei are rescued. Guy is so grateful he writes a letter to his friends from abroad thanking them for what they have done. Cody doesn't even bother to put down his piña colada. Dear Mayor Hager, thank you for beating up knife guys with mohawks. Today, I jumped off a waterfall into a barrel. XOXO guy. I don't know why this bothers me so much. I guess it's just awful writing. I mean, if you're gonna put two-thirds of your main characters on ice, can you raise the stakes a little bit? How about Cody was in a car accident and he's in a coma, or he contracted a skin-eating bacteria that can only be treated by a doctor in Australia, or even just like jury duty is a better excuse. I can't talk about this game anymore, it's getting me flustered. Let's move on to the next track. From the PC Engine Super CD game Summer Carnival 93 Nexar Special, composed by Yasushi Wada, Tatsuya Watanabe, and Katsuya Yoneda, this is Stage 3. Nexar is a vertical shooter developed by Naxatsoft. It's a Super CD game which, if you will recall, is essentially the middle of three-tiered PC Engine CD peripherals. It's also part of the Summer Carnival series, and the game is subtitled Summer Carnival 93. Well, this track is from the Summer Carnival version anyway. I briefly discussed the Summer Carnival series in the past, but in short, it's a shmup competition designed to emulate Hudson's Caravan competition. The Summer Carnival version uses timed modes based on the core Nexar game. I'm not positive whether this track is exclusive to the competition version of the game, but all the places I found it included the Summer Carnival tag. I don't have a lot more to say about the game, really. I watched gameplay footage and the sprites are pretty, the action is hectic, and it seems like another well-made PC Engine space shooter. If you want to check out the game, I would say you should probably start with the original version first, though, unless you really want to play the timed modes and see how you do score-wise. Besides the different gameplay, from what I've read, it also has some additional cinematics in the original that might be worth checking out. Moving on to an ad-lib DOS computer track from the game Fury of the Furries, composed by Frederick Elmobo Mott, formerly known as Moby, this is the Mountain 2 theme. First, a little about the DOS Adlib setup. The Adlib is a sound card for DOS-based computers, which used a YM3812 OPL2 sound chip. The chip was capable of 9 distinct audio channels using FM synthesis. It was released originally in 1987, and it came bundled with software that included 17 pre-recorded songs. The music isn't really from a video game, exactly, and most of them are covers, so I probably won't play any on the show, but if you're interested in the Adlib sound, they're pretty much widely available on the internet for free. I think you can even find them on possibly the Video Game Music Preservation Foundation website. Check them out if you're interested. As for the game, Fury of the Furries is a 1993 platform puzzler developed by Callisto and published by Mindscape for the Amiga, Amiga CD32, Macintosh, and MS-DOS. The player controls a small furball, which is either named Tiny or is of an alien species called Tinies. I saw both versions, so I'm not sure which is right. In any event, the main character bounces and hops his way across 8 different levels, ending in a castle to face off against the capital W, Wicked One. The main game mechanic is a color shifting, which gives the player different abilities. For example, shooting fireballs or digging through platforms. Another interesting point, in 1994, Fury of the Furries was licensed to Namco. They did a sprite swap and released the game as Pac-In Time, canonically part of the Pac-Man franchise. The DOS and Macintosh versions of the game were mostly identical to the original, but with Pac-Man as the game's protagonist. And I would like to say that I said Fury of the Furries correctly every time when I was recording this, but let's just say there were some redos. I started to sound a little bit like I was doing a Swedish Chef impression. Fury, 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 Fury. Also notable are the many references and Easter eggs included in the game. For example, you're able to set the language to Freeman. Freeman are the inhabitants of the desert planet Arrakis in Frank Herbert's science fiction series, Dune. Actually, I think the name of the language itself is Chakobsa. Originally published in 1965, Dune won the Hugo Award in 1966 and the inaugural Nebula Award for Best Novel. It went on to sell more than 12 million copies during Herbert's lifetime, and it's frequently cited as the world's best-selling science fiction novel. In fact, as recently as 2012, it was named the top science fiction novel of all time in a Wired readers poll. The novel has been adapted into movies, TV series, and countless games, from tabletop to collectible card games, and, of course, a whole slew of video games as well. Actually, there's a pretty interesting Sega CD soundtrack composed by Stefan Peek of Mega Race fame. You might even think that now would be a great time to play a selection from that game. And you'd be right. Dune is set on the aforementioned desert planet Arrakis. The planet is the sole source of the universe's most valued substance, the spice melange. In a sprawling feudal interstellar empire, dynasties are controlled by noble houses. The novel tells the story of young Paul Atreides, and he and his family accept control of the desert planet Arrakis. The New Yorker described Dune as an epic of political betrayal, ecological brinkmanship, and messianic deliverance. I don't think enough can really be said about the popularity of the Dune series. It was incredibly influential, and multiple generations still go back to the original source. Herbert wrote 5 sequels, and since 2009, the names of planets from the Dune novels have been adopted for real-world use on planes and other features on Saturn's own moon, Titan. And not too many authors can say that they were able to contribute a name to a geological feature on a celestial body. A decade after Frank Herbert's death, his son Brian resurrected the series. I've only read the original Dune book, so I can't speak to the quality of the late sequels personally. The Amazon reviews seem to be generally favorable, sitting in around the 4-ish star range, but my cynical side is pretty skeptical of an author's child, quote-unquote, carrying the torch for later books. One last note about Fury of the Furries before I move on. For anyone interested, both the Adlib DOS and the Amiga versions of the soundtrack are available on the composer's Bandcamp page. I'll post a link on the blog, and you can go and check it out if you'd like. Next, a return to the PC-88. From the game Shinra Bansho, composed by Nobuhito Koase, this track is called The Universe. Thank you. Shinra Bansho is a 3D shooting action game modeled after Space Harrier and released in 1987. Developed by Telenet Japan, it was the only title that the company developed exclusively for the PC-88 VA. As a brief aside, the PC-88 VA was an upgrade compatible with the PC-8801 series. It had a V3 mode that operated in 16 bits and allowed the system to run an MS-DOS-like OS. I'll hold off on a more complete overview for now, though. Shinra Bansho replaces the bright colors and effects of Space Harrier with a dark and foreboding reds and browns, which makes sense considering the setting. The game takes place after World War III has destroyed most of humanity. A divine relic was left on Earth to protect the remaining people. The guardian of this power was the goddess Solaris. She ordered the construction of a massive, impenetrable tower and placed the item on the topmost floor for safekeeping. But after more than a century, the tower is corrupted by the forces of evil, and a mysterious figure known as the Devil has taken control and holds Solaris hostage. I'm not really sure how mysterious you can be as a figure when your name is straight up the Devil, but I guess I'll have to play the game to find out how that worked exactly. Apparently the game is very technically sound, but suffers from a bit of overlength. I haven't seen video of the game itself, but the sprites look really cool, and if you like Space Harrier, it might be worth a play. The term Shinra Bansho means something like all things in the universe, or all things in nature. Because of that relatively broad definition, it's been used frequently in other literature and pop culture references. For example, it's the name of the special attack used by Reiji and Zaomu of Namco X Capcom and Super Robot Tyson, or a technique of Miharu in Nabari no Ou. Possibly the most popular example is Shinra Bansho Chocolate, a brand of chocolate wafers packaged with collectible trading cards distributed by Bandai. Debuting in Japan in 2005, it's remained popular enough to keep churning out new editions of the cards, animated videos, and an online browser game. As of 2008, it had sold 50 million units, and by 2013, that number had doubled to 100 million. As far as I can tell, the choco wafers in the game are unrelated, though. Next, from the TurboGrafx-16 game World Classic Baseball, from an unknown composer, this is Edit Mode. We'll be right back. I actually don't know if I said world-class baseball or world-classic baseball in the intro, but the correct title is world-class baseball. It's a baseball video game originally released for the NEC PC Engine in 1988 as Power League. It was re-released for the Wii Virtual Console in 2007. World-class baseball is only the second baseball game to be released for the system. And that's surprising because usually sports games, and especially baseball games, really clogged up early life cycles of the consoles of that era. The game itself comes on the heels of Namco's Pro Yakyu World Stadium, a remastered port of the first Pro Yakyu, which is known as RBI Baseball in the States. And guess what? There isn't much more to say about the game. Some of the team names are kind of funny, like the New York Apples, but I'm not really going to talk about the super generic baseball gameplay itself. It looks fine. It looks like, if that's what you're interested in, a very tied-to-the-era baseball game with no licenses. I will say that the game did receive a number of sequels. I think there were something like five, and I believe there were some Super Nintendo versions as well. And that'll bring me to the end of the show this week. We're closing out with another Japanese PC track, but this time it's from the PC 98. The game is called Dual Succession, and it's developed by Kurei Software Kobu, or KSK. Founded in 1985, KSK created games mostly for Japanese home computers. What I wanted to talk about briefly is KSK's Gocha Kyara, or Multiple Character System. KSK invented the system, and their games are well known for using it. It's basically a unique hybrid of real-time strategy, action role-playing, and tactical role-playing games rolled into one. The player controls one character at a time, and the others are controlled by the computer's AI, which follow the leader. Battles are large-scale, and the characters and enemies sometimes fill the entire screen. Also of note, KSK is famous for having the cover art for their games created by renowned artist Yoshitaka Amano. He first came into prominence in the late 1960s working on the anime adaptation of Speed Racer. Amano created iconic and influential characters such as Gatchaman, Tekkaman the Space Knight, Hutch the Honeybee, and Kashan. Before I go, as always, special thanks to Alan Euler, aka Periodical, for mixing and editing the show. You can follow the show at thedyadpresents.blogspot.com, and you can subscribe via your favorite podcatcher. Don't forget to rate the show on iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter at thedyad. You can also email me at thedyadpresents@gmail.com, and there's now a Facebook page as well as a Facebook group, which I'm sure you can find using your very smart brains. Until next time, from the game Dual Succession, composed by Masaki Sasaki for the PC-98, this is Someday, Surely.